authorities. All things were created by him and for him. Your body was created by him and for him. Your organs created by him and for him. Your relationships created by him and for him. Your marriage created by him and for him. The next verse goes on, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And you feel like your body's not holding together? How about your relationships? How about your marriage? Do you need him to hold it together? Do you need a rescue? Because that's what he's all about. But we have to cry out to him. We need to turn to him. We can't live life on our own. We have to live life in union with him. We have to live life crying out to him and asking him to come and do the miracle in our marriage, do the miracle in our relationships, do the miracle in our body, and he will come and do that. But we need to cry out to him. So I want to pray for us, some of us who maybe the Lord just put their finger on something in our lives during worship, something that needs his healing touch. And I want to just invite you to lift that up to him right now. Okay, so let's just bow our heads and, Lord, you know my thing. Just say that to him. Lord, you know what's on my heart, what's what I'm desperate about. You know what's going on in this relationship, in this area of my life, this physical thing. Lord, would you come in and hold it together? Would you come in? You are the creator. I need you. I invite you. Heal me. Restore me. Restore this relationship. Lord, I humble myself before you. I'm willing to humble myself before this other person. Are you willing to surrender that to him? And Lord, you hold it together. Heal. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome. I am Randy, one of the pastors here at Adventure Church. And I'm just glad you're here. If this is your first time in Adventure, you picked a good Sunday. It was a really good worship. Just a few announcements for you. One is in a couple of weeks, on August 12th, we are going to have a community event. We're going to have service, but it's going to be at the Fiala's house. We're going to have maps and things like that in the bulletin coming and directions and so on. But the Fiala's live out by Lake Joy kind of area. They've got this giant house with a big giant park behind them and a lake. And we're going to have old school picnic. Okay, so it's going to be three-legged races, water balloon tosses. It's plan on the afternoon. Plan on, you know, this thing starts at 11. 10 o'clock, we're going to meet here for carpooling. Anybody can just jump in each other's cars. And then we're going to head over and have a service, and then it's going to be lunch. We're providing hot dogs, not the little skinny ones. Okay, we're going to get the footlongs, all right? Buns, condiments. But you guys are on for bring your chairs, bring shorts, bring stuff to get wet in because you might get wet. We're going to bring a side dish, and we're going to have more information about that depending on your last name. Okay, now, this is an old school church picnic, so let's not do new school sides, okay? We don't want to have a line in Safeway at 8 a.m., you know, of Adventure people trying to get potato salad, all right? So let's do the real deal, make food for enough for eight people, at least 8 to 10 people, as you bring sides, and it will be one of those events that we'll be talking about for months. You don't want to miss this. If for nothing else, the zip line, okay? This will be the time where Dez, everybody remembers. Remember when Dez had to get life flighted out because he hit the tree at the end of the zip line? You know, so don't miss it. That's not a curse. It's just a joke, all right? So anyway, so don't forget, keep that calendar date. More information coming. There's a team in Ethiopia right now. They're on their second camp that they're doing for high schoolers. It's going phenomenal. They all had stomach aches in the middle, nausea. You guys prayed them out of it. Well done. Now they're doing. They're healthy, last I heard. And they are coming back Wednesday. So the other thing is, just want to let you know, upcoming in August, we're going to be heading into a series on what do the other religions believe? You know, what about Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and all these other religions, and how do they jive with Christianity? How do they differ? You know, does it matter that you what you believe? So just to kind of gear up for that, that's coming. And then community groups. There's lighter community groups in, this summer because it's summer, but there's a couple. There's a dinner group for new people, and then there's a Follow Jesus Bible study group that the Kobayashis are doing. There's a horseback group and an archery group. This is pretty much the week to sign up. If you don't sign up this week, groups will have passed you by, and so you can go online to adventurecommunitychurch.com to do that. If I could have the ushers come forward for our time of offering, we're going to worship the Lord through offering before we enter into our message time. So at Adventure and in Scripture, offering's really an act of worship. But Jesus talks more about actually money than any other topic in the Bible. It's because our stuff, our money, is what wraps itself around our hearts, and God wants our hearts. And so he talks about that. He wants to strip away that stuff that is in the way. And so Jesus talks about it all the time if you follow him around through the Gospels. And so we want to just sacrificially, or we want to worship him sacrificially by giving and remembering these things we have are gifts from him. And so we're giving out of the lavishness that he's given to us. And if things aren't so lavish right now for you, then you give out of faith and trusting that he's going to come and make up what you've given and even more. That's how God's math works. You have nothing, you give everything you have, and then he gives you more than you gave. So let's pray, and we'll give these gifts to the Lord Jesus. We love you. Lord, thank you for coming and being so present in our worship and in this service, Lord. Thank you for the way you've touched my heart. And Lord, I want to give back to you. I want to worship you through everything I have. And Lord, I know it's yours anyway. So I want to give it to you and trust you that you always will meet my needs in it. And Lord, pray for Jeff as he brings this message, Lord, that you have put on his heart, Lord, that you would give him the freedom of your spirit to speak boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the way it works is we've got these baskets, and we're just going to hand them off at the front of each section, and your job is to just make sure they get back to the back.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Life to the full. Some of you might be visiting this morning, or you weren't here the last couple weeks, and we've been in a series for, this is week three, talking about life to the full. And if you look at this picture here, I guess I picked that picture because if you could pick a picture that depicts life to the full, it would be me standing in this location with like four other guys, and you hear a bull elk bugle right here. And you devise a plan of what, two guys are going this way, three are going this way, and you're going to spend the rest of the day trying to get close to the bull elk. For various reasons. But the reason I tell that is because we're moving into life to the full and how community relates to life to the full. And remember my little tree picture? How many of you remember who were here the last couple weeks? The three roots. What's on the three roots? Does anybody remember? Yes?
Restore.
Fill. And deploy, yes. I'm going to start testing you guys more. So we have this picture here, basically representing life to the full. Why are we talking about life to the full? Because it's offered to us by Jesus. Remember John 10:10 makes the offer, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There's an offer of life to the full. The same one who also said you will have many trials in your life says you may have life to the full as well. So we're looking at, well, gosh, if we really want to pursue that, we really want to believe that, how do we enter into that life? And so we're talking about three main roots, three major things that need to be present for us to enter into life to the full as Jesus meant it. Okay, my depiction of trying to find elk in the woods, to say it nicely, is not the life to the full that Jesus meant, but there's elements of it that are. There's the community, there's the fellowship, the brotherhood that happens there. So what we're looking at is fill, restore, deploy. Just a real quick review. Fill, we're talking about the filling of the Spirit. Life to the full as Jesus meant it, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and that relationship is restored with God, he gives us the Holy Spirit. Without that presence of the Holy Spirit living in us as the temple of God now, his Spirit living in us, empowering us, we will not experience life to the full the way he intended. Let's look at deploy over here. Deploy is being on mission with God. Okay? If we are filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered and given these special gifts, but we're not on mission with God, it's life's about us. We will not experience life to the full. Not the way Jesus meant it. And then restore. Okay? There's a hardening of our hearts that happens through sin. The Bible tells us that there's this process of this hardening of that flesh of the heart. We're talking about our spiritual hearts. Okay? Getting our hearts back to that soft, supple, believing state with which God designed it to function is a journey. That's the restoration journey. If you skip that chasm between what God created you to be and what through sin, through your own sin and the sin of those around you in this world, what you've become, that gap, if that's not closed by walking with God and walking with others, then you will not experience life to the full the way Jesus meant it. It's just not an option. You won't experience it. So what we're talking about today is community, and how community is the soil in which those bed, those roots, okay? Those roots cannot establish without community, and we're going to illustrate that through three parts of just looking at each root one at a time. Last week we took a community survey just to get an idea of kind of where's, you know, this isn't scientific, but you guys, you know, filled them out, and just to get an idea of where you're at, 137 people took the survey last week. I was really surprised by how positive the results were. I did not expect 117 of the 137 to say they have at least one close friend. Understand that the question said who you could share your deepest struggles with. 117. My experience in talking with people is that number should be a lot lower. But maybe I just talk with the people who don't have a close friend. 116 positive outlook about community. One thing I will say about that, though, the reason I expected it to be lower, too, is because in the communities that I've been in until Adventure Church, it has been my experience because there's a high value here on the restore root of the tree, which is walking with somebody else in restoration. That generally happens in a small, either a table setting where there's three or four guys meeting together. We call it a band of brothers. Or it's one-on-one, just walking with somebody, sharing your story, listening to God together, and closing that gap between who you are and the lies that you believed about yourself. So I think that's why that's higher in this community. Positive outlook about community, that's great. 116 feel generally a positive when they think about entering into community at church. Zero said that the church is solely responsible to provide community. So you have the option of the church, myself, it's my responsibility, or both. And everybody chose either both or my responsibility, which is great. I think that's true. I don't think it just rests on the church. I mean, we are the church. So community happens as we are proactive in making it happen. That's great. 82 had a sense of connection to Adventure Church, 6 or higher out of a scale of 1 to 10. 82 of the 137 said they feel they're connected with the body at 6 or higher, which is great, but it means there's the difference there, do the math, of people who are less than, you know, 5 or less feeling connected here. So those of you who marked 10, you can reach out and find the people who marked 1, because there were people who marked 1. Some of them were newer, but I would hope even somebody visiting would feel a welcome. So that's something that's on all of us. This is a family, to make them feel welcome. So anyways, that's just a quick look at that. So if you think about community, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say it was? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And? Love your neighbor as yourself. So really, the greatest commandment is founded on community. Community with God, community with each other. So we're hitting on a subject this morning that's really important to God. And I think it's evident in what he's been doing in people's hearts. So if you think about... if you think about your own journey in community, what does it look like? What does it look like to be in community? What are your relationships like? We kind of took that survey, and also that was for you to be thinking and be self-aware of where you're at. Community really is like a thermometer for how you're doing in each of those roots. Filling of the Spirit, restoration, deploy, being on mission with God. How you're doing in community is really a reflection of how you're doing in those areas. Because it's hard to really operate in those areas isolated. For myself, first couple years of being a Christian, I was 18, 19, graduated, and took a summer, I don't know, maybe 10 months, and went to Idaho to work on a dude ranch, because I'm a dude. You guys are generous, though. First service laughed a little bit too. But the man who really shared Christ with me and helped me to understand that the Spirit of God used him for me to come into that relationship with Jesus and understand what he did for me when I was 18 in high school, I worked with him right over in Clearview at Chinook Lumber. He told me after that, after I'd received Christ, he said, now you need fellowship. And he wasn't trying to get me to go to his church. He was just saying, you need to find a fellowship where you can enter into the body. That's God's design. And I remember saying to him, I don't need that. I know how to read. I have my Bible. I can make it on my own. It's just not necessary for me to enter into that. And there's also a vulnerability that just doesn't sound interesting to me. So I went off to this camp in Idaho, and it didn't go well. It was a big mess. And I'm going to tell you more of that story when we get to it, but I want you to remember that much of it, of what the effects for me was. That's my story. You have your own story of community. So let's get right into it. Start with the restore route. So we talked about the hardening that happens in the heart from sin and unbelief. What does community look like? Real community, where you walk with somebody who can remind you of who you are, what your strengths are, and you can do the same for them. What would that look like?
I wonder if we'll ever be put into songs or tales.
What?
I wonder if people will ever say, let's hear about Frodo in the ring. And they'll say, yes, it's one of my favorite stories.
Frodo was really courageous, wasn't he, Dad?
Yes, my boy. The most famousest of hobbits. And that's saying a lot.
You've left out one of the chief characters.
Samwise the Brave.
I want to hear more about Sam.
Frodo wouldn't have got far without Sam.
Now, Mr. Frodo, you shouldn't make fun. I was being serious.
So was I.
Samwise the Brave.
Many of you here have enjoyed that level of fellowship with somebody. I know I have a group of men that I walk with, and it looks like that. It really does. It looks like them reminding me of who I am sometimes. They know my story. They know what I've been through. They know the words that God has spoken to me. And when I forget them, they remind me. That's the kind of fellowship, that's the kind of community that keeps us in restoration of our hearts and then restores and then keeps us living out who we are. That's what God wants for us, and that's why he made more than one person. That's why he made more than one person in this world, because through them, he will do that restoration process. Look at this verse. It illustrates what we just watched. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. So we're called to encourage one another, to help each other and guard each other from the hardening of the heart. Sin is deceitful. It has caused us to believe wicked things about each other, about ourselves. And what we do is we remind each other of the confidence and help each other to continue to walk in the confidence that we had at first. Okay? Helping each other stay in what we've come to know of Jesus Christ, what we've come to know of who we are in him. That's restoration, and that's community in that. Let's move on. Phil, life to the full. Now we're talking about the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts that you did not have before you came into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So look around the room. We've already done it once, so it won't be awkward. And look at these people around you. They have supernatural gifts. They were given gifts by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the person sitting next to you. So what happens when you get a room full of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have special gifts and talents, each unique in different ways, and then they try to come together to achieve one mission, God's mission, and walk with him? What are the challenges that arise with that, and what victories could come out of working together with those giftings?
Has started.
And we are hopelessly outgunned.
Director Fury, I think it's time.
You're here with a mission, sir? Trying to get me back in the world?
Trying to save it.
Doctor, we need you to come in.
What if I say no?
I'll persuade you.
What are you asking me to do?
It's called the Avengers Initiative.
I thought I didn't qualify.
Apparently I'm, what is it? Volatile, self-obsessed,
and don't play well with others.
I think we need a timeout.
And you call on such lost creatures to defend you.
You have made me very desperate.
We're not a team. We're a time bomb.
This is nothing we were ever trained for.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
I love that. Now, is that an exaggeration? Not really. It's not an exaggeration of what I just described, of what God's word says about us, that we are each given unique gifts and that we're called to bring them together for one mission, for one cause under God. And the beginning of that trailer kind of looks like the church at times, fighting, right? Bringing their strengths and no, it's about me. And I can't get along. The Avengers movie, actually, that part of the Avengers movie is a great picture of what's required of God's church to come together. All these superheroes with their ego. Okay, I can't stand right there. With their ego, right? And it's all about them, and they even created the movies about each individual and how they stepped in and found their powers and started to use them and then started to use them for good. And then now there's this force to be reckoned with that no one single superhero can handle on their own. They now are required to work together as a community. So, check out these verses. Romans chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Paul likes to use this picture of a body as the body of Christ, and we're one body with many members. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about more of the spiritual gifts. Look at this, though. Each member belongs to all the others. So the person sitting next to you who's not part of your family, are you thinking on the level of, these people with me today, are they belong to me, and I belong to them? Is that a thought process that you have when you come in to church on Sunday morning? I'm going in there, and we're one body. Or is there a separation in our minds, even subconsciously? Goes on to say, we have different gifts. Look at this list of gifts. It's not maybe what you would think. It's very versatile. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. It's an interesting list. It's not an exhaustive list. There's more to it, and there's other places in the Bible where that's added to. And I think that there's probably, you couldn't contain in the Bible all the different giftings that the Spirit could give. But that's an interesting list, right? It's not just prophesying. It's not just speaking in tongues. It's not just healing miracles. It's encouraging. Anybody here feel like they have the gift of encouragement from the Spirit? Or mercy? Or contributing to the needs of others? I see that happening in people. I see certain people bringing that in a greater measure. Doesn't mean we won't touch some of these, many of these, each of us, but we're given. He didn't make everybody an arm or a leg. And as a church, we function in the sense with that body picture of, well, we need these certain parts of the body, and then we're good. I mean, if we constructed a body the way we think of the church, how good would it be? Well, we don't really need the liver, because you don't see the liver, and it's kind of unattractive to look at. Let's take the liver out, and then let's watch the body and see how it does. And we can't function like that as a fellowship, can we? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So I love this verse. Paul in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is talking again about spiritual gifts. And his point is, why are we given the gifts? We're given the gifts for the common good, not to be lone rangers out to save the world, because that's God's heart, is for the lost to be saved. So I'm going to go do it. That's not his design. It's not his intention. His intention is for us to work together as one body. And we're going to see that illustrated even more in the next route of deploy. So now we move into deploy, which is being on mission with God. So when I moved to Idaho, I wasn't on mission with the fellowship. I was a lone ranger. And on that ranch, There was mostly college kids go out there and work for the summer. And there was one other guy there who approached me and said, "Hey, I know you're a Christian. Why don't you come? I live a couple hours away and I go home on the weekends. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" And I was like, "No, man, you know, I'm liking this lifestyle here. It's party all weekend with all the college people." You know, I was like the youngest, being 19. And I pushed him off. And he kept asking me for several weeks, and then finally he stopped asking because I always said no. And then I'd kind of badmouth him to the rest of the group. And they're like, "What's up with you, Hanson, man? You're cool. You're a Christian, but you come party with us and stuff. That's cool." And I thought, yeah, you know, now they're seeing the real thing. That guy's a stiff neck over there. He never comes out with us in parties and stuff, and they don't really like him. And eventually, long story, God gets to my heart. And I now am ashamed of the things I did. You know, I feel like I can relate to Paul. What good is it now for the things that I did back then that I'm now ashamed of? Because I'm ashamed of the witness I was for God. The greatest witness we can give the world, and the reason why when Jesus prayed for us, he prayed that we would have unity so that people could see that he is from God and that God loves us. That's how we show the world. I didn't show that community that. If I would have joined with that guy and said, "Yeah, you're my brother. I'd love to go take part in fellowship," what witness would that have been to the other people? So I missed that opportunity, and it's gone. And now I live in the future here, and I have an opportunity to represent Christ through unity. But we're going to take a look at a clip here about Deploy. The movie Remember the Titans is about a football group back in the 70s, and they decided to merge these two schools and try to overcome some of the racial tension that was going on. And so these two football teams kind of merged together, and the blacks and the whites were fighting. There was tension, and the coach knew that the key for this team was not in the talent. There's a lot of talented athletes on the team. The key was going to be to bring unity, because where there is disunity, nobody can accomplish anything. And so he takes them back to story after story in the world history where unity is broken and death results. And he takes them back to a story to say, if we can't overcome this, we will be crushed. But if we can, then we might just be successful. Watch this illustration, and we'll look at a verse about it.
Come on, baby. Can't take no risk.
Can't take no risk.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here is painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys, smoke, and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, men. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were.
I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men.
There is a power in unity that is just, it's just a law of the world, because it's how God created us to work in community. Look at this prayer that Jesus prayed over us. Now, this is a prayer he prayed for us here and now, because he says, my prayer is not for them alone, his disciples, who he had just been praying for. But he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Okay, that last part. May they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So that's how we're going to tell the world that Jesus is from God. And that's how we're going to tell the world that God loves us, is how we function in unity. Jesus, when Jesus prays, I listen. Wouldn't you listen to what he's praying? You know, sometimes I'm like, God, what do I pray? I don't know what to say. Jesus doesn't do that. He knows what to pray. Bruce Riggs came up to me in between services and said, yeah, one of the most powerful experiences of somebody coming to Christ that I've had was when him and his wife were doing this camp at a juvenile jail. Basically, it's a prison for kids under 18. And they put on this camp for 5 days with this church organization. And there's this one kid who was at Teresa, his wife's table, and for the 5 days he would not, it's like he wasn't listening, he was just looking around, didn't take notes, didn't do the assignments. At the end of the week, he gave his life to Christ. And he said, the reason I gave my life to Christ is because, obviously it wasn't because of what you guys said, I don't know what the teachings were, but I watched how you guys interacted with each other. From the very beginning, I knew you guys were full of it, and you were trying to trick us into believing what you were teaching, because you were hugging each other. I've never seen adults be that affectionate with each other. And then by the end of the week, I realized they're not faking it. They've got something that I want. They saw the love of God played out in front of them in real life. You can see God, and it's in watching a community of believers live out what they were meant to be as a community. You can see God that way. He saw God, and he gave his life to Christ, and he was changed. And that was the kid they thought was the most closed. So I thought that was a really cool story. I wanted to share that with you. So let's pray for this as a family. So God, you, Jesus, you know how to pray. Would you teach us right now what we need to pray concerning this as a family, God? My desire is to fulfill your prayer, is to be an answer to your prayer. What an honor that would be, to be able to be a part of your prayer being answered. That was your heart that you expressed, was that we would be in unity, God. And we can be a family of unity here, God, and then beyond that, how do you want us to be in unity with the other fellowships here in Duval, in the valley? God, would you root out anything, any malice, any obstacles that keep us from unity as brothers and sisters here? Would you root that out now in Jesus' name? We just give that over to you. Would you reveal to us relationships that you want to bring healing in, and the steps of how to move forward with that? And would you speak to us about our spiritual gifts? Would you open our eyes to what they are so that we can bring them to the body and build up the body for the common good Would you start to reveal those things to us, God? Help us to see it in others, see each other's gifts and encourage them in those. Just pray for a breakthrough there. We just break the hold of the enemy who hates unity. He hated it in the beginning and broke the unity of heaven. And so we just pray against him now over this family, this church family, and over this area, this whole valley. Would you bring your unity, Lord, and establish it where the enemy in the past has tried to bring disunity, tried to make this a church graveyard, this place. But Lord, you're coming through with victory, and so we want to be a part of that. Help us to shine, Lord, your love for us, and to speak loudly to this community that, Jesus, you come from God, as you prayed, because we walk in unity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You guys want to have some fun?
Yeah!
I heard my son in there. I just feel like I'm doing this because I feel like it's what God wanted to do and how he wanted to end the service. But we're going to play some games. And there are prizes involved. And the purpose is to work together as a community, right? But we're going to be little communities within a bigger community here and form teams. We're going to do it real quick because we don't have much time. But I'm going to break you guys into teams. So I'm just going to walk up and down the aisles and say you're a team. You might need to reposition or turn around in your seat or whatever so you guys can be ready to discuss some things as we get started. So let's say you three rows are a team. You guys are a team. We'll do these three rows. You're a team. And these three rows. So maybe, you know, if you guys are kind of sit sideways, you can hear everybody. And then these three rows and you two can kind of fit in there. There's a couple extra seats. And we better do these four rows because there's only one in that one. So you are a team. And then you guys, there's more teams this service. You guys are a team, okay, you four. So maybe you guys can move up to those seats. And then you guys are back there. There's nobody in the balcony. So you guys are a team. Okay? First, you can start working on it right now. First challenge is you guys are come up with a team name. I will vote on the best name, and the prize will go to that team. It has to be a name that I would like. I like hunting. I like vegetable gardening. I like walking with God. I like all kinds of things. So think about what Jeff would like. The Avenger. Okay, once you get your name, just hold on to it because somebody might steal it if you say it out loud. Okay. We got chocolate bars here. All right. You don't get much more time because we don't have time. Okay, so we're going to start here and we'll just go back. What's your name? What is it?
Four point holy healers.
Wow, that could have lots of meanings. Okay, back there. Avengers. The Avengers. Ooh. Okay. VeggieTales. My kids would pick yours. Okay.
Restoration Hunters.
Ooh. Okay. Next team.
Jeff Hanson Rocks.
Ooh, I don't like that. I like bulls. No bull. I don't like those two words. Don't go together. No bull. Okay.
Ninja Gardeners.
Wow, there's a lot of pictures going on in my head. Okay, back there.
God's Hunters.
God's Hunters. Ooh, man, that's a close one with the Ninja Gardeners. Okay. The Survivors. I like that. I'm going with the Ninja Gardeners. You should see me harvest the carrots. Okay, now we're going to do a couple of riddles real quick, because we got to wrap up here and get the kids out of Sunday school. Okay, a couple of riddles. Now, rule with the riddle is, where's that mic, that handheld mic? You got it? Do you have that in your back pocket? Okay, rule is, you may send one person from your team to come grab this mic once you guys have concurred on the answer to the riddle. If you have ever heard the riddle before, you zip your lip and you don't tell anybody on your team. You give no hints. Ready? You exercise silence. Okay, well, we're going to do one for a warm-up, okay, because I've got three here. So this one, don't come running up here. Just, you can yell it out or whatever. No sooner spoken than broken. What is it?
Silence.
Silence, yes. Okay, so now your brains are all warmed up and you're ready to go. Okay, first one. Wait, I gotta get the prizes. It's more candy. This one's gonna be the suckers, okay? Tootsie Pops. I am as light as a feather, yet the strongest man can't hold me for much more than a minute. What am I? Don't yell it out. Come up and get the mic. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves. Work as a community. Everybody has different gifts. Somebody's good at riddles. Okay? Okay. Go ahead.
Breath.
Breath. Yes. There you go. There you go. Nice. Okay. Next one, remember the rules? Come up, grab the mic. Don't say it. If they're wrong, don't yell it out. Wait your turn and get the mic from them, and you might have it. What goes around the world but stays in a corner? Go ahead, use your team. You guys are all staring at me. Remember the message I just gave. We've got to work together here. We might have a winner.
A stamp,
that's right. Hey. Yeah. Okay. Guys, have a great Sunday. This is just a little taste of what the picnic's going to be like. You don't want to miss it. And just go out. I also wanted to encourage you guys, think of somebody that you could have over for dinner this week. Just get together. We come together, we pray for each other, we worship together, but we also have fun together and get to know each other. So just think about that. Have an awesome Sunday. Go get your kids, because the helpers over there are probably ready.